Greetings, radio friends. Once again, we have the glorious privilege of coming your way in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessings of our God rest upon you in a wonderful way, and may you have a wonderful day in the Lord. And may His blessings be with you throughout the coming days and months and years till the coming of Christ. This program is sponsored by the Church of God of Resurrection Hope, a Church of God of Abrahamic Faith. We're located in Lenore, North Carolina, on the Walt Arney Road. We hold services each Sunday, Sunday school 9:30, morning worship service 10:30, the evening message at 7 o'clock each Sunday evening. We have been brought to the attention of baptism, and as we have found that the Lord in His commission to the church said, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That's from Mark 16:16. We are endeavoring to do that by the glory of the Lord and by His power, because we have a desire in our hearts to see all men saved. Again, the great commission to the Lord's people: "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," Matthew 28:19. In John 4:1, we find information about Jesus and baptism. "When therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John." Now let's think on this thing for a minute. Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. This is what the Bible says, but the next verse has an explanation to it: "Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples only." Now Jesus is the one who is to baptize with the Holy Spirit, but if he himself baptized not, but his disciples did, we turn to the commentary to see what is the understanding here. The outward symbol or seal administered only through his disciples. It makes perfect harmony, as Peter had said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." As Paul said, "By one Spirit are you all baptized into one body." Both signatures, outward and your confession before the world that you're willing to be buried with him by immersion, and his signature are still of the Holy Spirit inwardly. That makes you to be in a contract with the Lord, even as Abraham was. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:14, "I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any of you should say I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any others." Paul says this not to depreciate baptism, but as one who held the office of an apostle to the Gentiles, he had a peculiar work to preach the gospel. And so he baptized the first converts and then left baptism up to those converts. They were to be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sins. This is the will of God. This way, lest the apostle of the Gentile with great honor had esteem, he was in honor of the early Gentile church, and it would have been a very great misfortune for them to have been divided, saying, "Well, Paul baptized me, and I'm a little better than you are," because they've been baptized by Paul, and others saying, "Well, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Apollos." Is Christ divided, Paul asked? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? This bit of information on baptism is to let those who have been baptized by Apollos, Paul, and Cephas know that it is not the man that baptizes them that they're to contend for and serve, but the Lord Jesus, in whose name they were baptized. This was given to stop the contention that was found among brethren in those days, who were saying, "One, I'm of Paul, another, I of Apollos, another, I am of Cephas." Recently, a stranger came to my church. After attending several of the church services, he approached me and asked me, trembling, if he could be baptized. He'd attended several churches, and all he said that he had attended had refused him baptism, told him it wasn't essential to be baptized. Somehow the Spirit of the Lord had touched his heart till he felt that he just had to have baptism. He informed me the reason given him that men do not need to be baptized is they used the thief hanging on the cross by the side of the Lord in his death was not baptized, yet he was in paradise with the Lord the same day they were crucified. Now both statements are untrue, just as untrue as the devil's lie in the Garden of Eden. Was the thief on the cross ever baptized? Who can declare he was not? How many churches on earth today can claim every person they've ever baptized did never do anything wrong after baptism? This man lived all during the time of John's baptism, during the baptism of the disciples of the Lord, and to say he never had been baptized is to assume that He was never baptized. No one knows. Again, on the other hand, who can say he was baptized? Jesus said that by the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. In Luke, we have this account of the one thief. Matthew 27:43, we find that Jesus was being crucified. The chief priests mocked him and the scribes and the elders and said he trusted in God. Let him deliver him. Now, for he said, I am the Son of God. Verse 44, the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now, nothing said in this account of Matthew about the thief going to paradise. John in his discourse said in John 19:18, when they crucified him, that two others were with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the midst. Is it not strange that both John and Matthew, who wrote of the account, overlooked something as important as the Lord taking a thief to paradise that day? Is it not strange that they did not give this account as given in Luke? Did not the thief on the cross know something about God and his plans? Did he not speak the sentiment of many church people today? The other thief had been contending with the Lord and making remarks that were ungodly, and this thief said, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? The condemnation Jesus was condemned for was to die for the sins of all the people and the sins of those two thieves that was nailed on the cross beside him, or else he didn't die for the sins of the whole world. Now listen, this thief says, we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. He knew that as men we deserve to die for our sins, but this Lamb of God, no, he hath done nothing amiss. And that is saying much more than those chief priests and scribes knew. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He evidently knew that Jesus was going to come into his kingdom, the kingdom of God. To say one with such knowledge had nothing religious in his life would be a mistake. He knew more about Jesus than the whole Levitical priesthood did that was present. Now, verse 43, and Jesus said, indeed, I say unto thee this day, as a king of that kingdom you're wishing to be remembered, and when I come in my kingdom, I promise you this day, comma, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, it's just as possible for the thief to have been one who believed on Christ and then to have stolen something as it was for Judas who betrayed him. Not everyone who believes remains faithful. The evidence is strong that he knew all about Christ's mission and the ultimate result. To disobey the Lord's command and his commission to baptize because of this incident would be complete folly, for the thief could have been baptized before this situation developed. He may not even have been guilty. You know, Jesus was not guilty. These mobsters wanted blood, and they were going to have it. Now, the high Sabbath drew nigh. That was, as soon as the high Sabbath began at sundown, this day would be ended, and so the Jews besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away, for bodies could not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of both these men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw he was dead already, they brake not his legs, thus fulfilling the scriptures that a bone of him shall not be broken. A shadow of the truth which was in reference to the Passover lamb. The legs were broken by beating their legs with clubs so that they could not walk away, even if taken down from the cross alive. Now those two thieves was taken down from the cross alive. Those whose business to see that they were dead fixed it so they could not escape by breaking their legs. But when they came to Jesus, saw he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but they broke the legs of the two crucified with him. Now, if they had been dead, they would not have broken their legs. The reason they broke their legs is because that they were not dead and they could not remain on the cross on the Sabbath that was nigh, and so they were still alive when they were taken down. So their leg was broken so that after they'd been taken down from the cross, they still being alive could not walk away or escape. There is no evidence that the thief died that day that Jesus did. If he had, his legs would not have been broken. Oh, you make Jesus lie by saying this, for he said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Dr. Adam Clark said it is likely that the two robbers were nailed to were not nailed to the cross, but only tied to them by cords, and thus they are represented in ancient paintings. We must remember also that both Matthew, Mark, and John, or all three of them, fail to mention this paradise episode. In further investigation, we find from the Diglot translation that this 43rd verse, and we quote, this verse was wanting or missing in the copies of Marcion and in some of the older copies in time of Origen, nor is it cited by Justin, Irenaeus, or Tertullian, though the two former have quoted almost every text in Luke which relates to the crucifixion. Tertullian wrote concerning the intermediate state also. See Evanson's Dissertations, page 28. Another queer twist is given this verse in the Greek words that's found in the Bible. It's a funny thing and very queer that this word paradise is not a Greek word but a Persian word and signifies a garden. The King James Bible was translated nearly 400 years ago. Commas and punctuation were put in by men who translated it, broke it down into verses. So verse and translation are man-made. Note Acts 19 and 12, speaking of Paul, that special miracles performed by him, we read, so that from his body were brought the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, comma. The punctuation makes the handkerchiefs and aprons sick. The comma should be after sick, making it read that unto the sick, comma, handkerchiefs and aprons were brought. The same is true here of this verse, whether it be legit or not, the comma was placed in its punctuation before today. When we find in ancient times when people were making a promise or a contract or promise, it was dated that day, and it still is. We date any contract that we make today. The promise was made by the King, the Lord Jesus, telling him, verily I say unto thee today, or I'm telling you this day. Jesus dated that day, thou shalt be with me in paradise, for when I come into my kingdom, I will remember you. It is truth that neither Jesus nor the thieves were in paradise that day. Jesus was crucified. If Jesus was in paradise and alive, he was never dead and never did die for our sins. If he was alive anywhere for those 3 days, then he did not die for our sins. Now, the evidence is plain that the Bible is emphatic, that the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. The Bible declares that in death there is no remembrance of thee, Psalm 6 and 5. The Bible declares in Psalms 143 and 3 and 4 in this manner concerning man and his dying. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. The soldiers examined Christ, and they said he was dead. They break not his legs, and they took him down from the cross because he was dead, and they did not break his legs. The thieves were still alive, and they broke their legs. If he was dead, he was not alive. Now, there's one thing about it. We cannot be dead and alive at the same time. One soldier pierced his side, and out came blood and water. They made sure he was dead. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 3 says that the gospel in a nutshell is this, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried according to the Scriptures, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. After so many older copies do not contain this one verse in Luke, after the other three apostles doesn't mention it, after Justin, Irenaeus, and Tertullian never cite such a verse, after the comma being placed in the wrong place, and after other three witnesses say nothing about it, to base your future life upon something that questionable certainly would be folly. We hope these thoughts give you information and enlighten you in the things of God, and we pray God's blessings upon you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, take these thoughts today and cause us to use them for your glory and to meditate and think and be drawn closer to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.